Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The King of Jordan, King Abdullah II, visiting Washington, and the conversation turning on many matters, but primarily focusing on what is to be done with the beleaguered people of Gaza following the fighting and perhaps on the eve of more fighting. The Gaza Strip is now a ruin of concrete and unexploded ordnance and all manner of poisons. So I welcome Ahmed Sharawi, research analyst at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to take us to the King's visit to Washington and what it is that the Jordanian people make of the circumstances of the Gaza Strip, especially the recommendation by some that Egypt and Jordan receive the Gazans while the rebuild goes on. Ahmed, a very good evening to you. The King's visit has many pieces, but right now I want to concentrate on the idea that Jordan can take in X number of hundreds of thousands of Gazans. I'm told that there are 300,000 Gazans living in Egypt, and they've been there for some time. They didn't just suddenly pour across the border into Sinai. You have acquainted me with the fact that just a few thousand Gazans are in Palestine, are in Jordan. What is the King's opinion of the idea of sheltering temporarily or permanently hundreds of thousands of Palestinians? Good evening to you, Ahmed.
Good evening to you, John, and thank you for having me. I think Jordan's or the King's vision towards this Trump's plan is you can look at it from two different dynamics. It's the public perception of the East Bank Jordanian population, who are the tribal, who make the tribal makeup of the Jordanian society, who are the original Jordanians. And you have the Jordanians of Palestinian descent who moved to Jordan after 1948 and 1967. And both these groups reject the idea of the resettlement of Gazans in Jordan. Due to different reasons, but they both put a lot of pressure on the King domestically. And if he were to abandon, and the King framed this idea of resettlement back in October 2023 when the war erupted as a red line. So if the King were to abandon his red line, he will face domestic pressures. And this is the main element in which it explains his view and his perspective on this idea.
Once upon a time in my youth, some years ago, I visited Amman, the capital of Jordan, and enjoyed myself immensely. It's a modern city built upon an architectural gem built upon ancient history. And it's surrounded by ruins of the Roman Empire once upon a time. It's wonderful to visit. At the same time, I was aware at the moment, but I didn't see it, that a majority of the Jordan is Palestinian, maybe even more than a majority. Is that a factor for the King? Logically, you would think the Palestinians would welcome more Palestinians. What is the thinking about this?
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of people have been questioning this since the King said that this was an unpopular or rejected this idea, Trump's idea, is why can't Jordan take in more Palestinians? They're already the majority of the population is already Palestinians. But again, the issue is that the Palestinians in Jordan currently will see the arrival of more Palestinians from Gaza as a betrayal of their right of return, and they would see this as a move that is effectively killing the Palestinian cause. And so this is why the King is hesitant or actually rejecting this idea, because he doesn't want that domestic pressure on him. He doesn't want to be framed as the person or the leader that sold the Palestinian cause. And again, this is the main perspective that will be enshrined in the minds of these Palestinian Jordanians, is that you are accepting more Gazans. This means that they won't return back to their homes, and thus you're killing the Palestinian cause. And this is a headache that the king doesn't want. So it's not a matter of having more Palestinians. It's how it's framed, and it's the narrative that will result as an outcome of this decision.
Over the years, Ahmed, I've been lectured about the Muslim Brothers, the Ikhwan, and that the Muslim Brothers operate sub rosa, underground, across the Middle East. They're always somewhere. And that the Muslim Brothers have a very loud voice in Jordan, very loud. Same in Egypt, even though they were exiled to Turkey. What do the Muslim Brothers say about the Palestinian cause? What is their understanding? Because the Muslim Brothers are essentially about Egypt, not about Jordan. Do they have an opinion in Jordan?
Of course they do. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood's ideology is regional. It's and in Jordan, it has been very apparent in the past 15 months, right after October 7. Most of the protests in Jordan that are near the Israeli embassy and that are against or that call for the cancellation of the 1994 peace treaty between Jordan and Israel are led by the Muslim Brotherhood or their actual political wing in Jordan, which is called the Islamic Action Front. And so they've been leading these protests. They've been very critical of Israel. They were calling for, again, the cancellation of the peace treaty between Jordan and Israel. They've been very supportive of Hamas. They chant in support of Hamas's former leaders who are now killed, like Yahya Sinwar and Ismail Haniyeh, almost on a daily basis. They have a good relationship with Hamas and Qatar. And the concerning thing is they're gaining public support. In the previous Jordanian elections back in September, I believe they won 31 seats out of the Jordanian parliament, and that was the most by any political party. So they're gaining more relevance, but they've also voiced their concerns about Trump's plan. They've planned multiple protests that reject this idea, and so. But I mean. The overall point is, yes, they have a hand in Jordan, and they have a popular base within the Palestinian-Jordanian community, and they've leveraged the Gaza war to their advantage.
There are other concerns for the king, and you note them in your write-up for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. So I want to focus on one in particular, which is Syria. Jordan borders a state that is now occupied by several powers. Russia's there, U.S. is there, Israel's there, Turkey's there. And in Damascus are men claiming, HTS, claiming to be the new government, even though that they're linked to al-Qaeda. That exposes Jordan to unknown depredations from the north. What can be done for the king about the threat of al-Qaeda on his doorstep?
So, I mean, since 2011, since the eruption of the Syrian civil war, Syria has been a source of instability to Jordan, whether it's the increasing influx of refugees, whether it's Iran's presence during Bashar al-Assad's reign and their role in weapon and Captagon drugs smuggling into Jordan. And the headache continues now with a new face, the face of al-Qaeda or former al-Qaeda, Abu Muhammad al-Julani, Ahmed al-Sharr, who is, I guess the overall point is that Syria is still in a state of chaos. There's no stability in Syria. You have multiple powers wanting influence. You have factions who want more power, who want more control over their own areas. As a close watcher of everything that's happening in Syria, I don't see things getting fixed anytime soon. It will remain a problem for Jordan.
Ahmed Sharawi for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bashley.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.